VoiceOfAmerica.com.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101 with host Susan Barnelstone. We're so happy you've joined us this weekend. Over the next hour, you'll learn the tips, tricks, and vital information that'll help you keep yourself confident and safe. Now, here's the host of Crime Prevention 101, Susan Barnelstone.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Crime Prevention 101, the personal safety radio show with the optimistic perspective on a sober subject. And it is just a privilege, an honor, and a pleasure for me to be here with you today. And I hope that you had a safe week since we were together last. Now, you know, this is April, and April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And I'm going to be featuring different sexual assault topics in a variety of ways during that month in order to have it really be a meaningful month. And today I thought what I would talk about is how the internet, with its blogs and its forums and its various websites, has provided a place where sexual assault victims can really come out of the shadows. They can still remain anonymous, and they can use aliases, and they can talk about their attacks and their pain and their recoveries. And it's a place where they can find comfort and share, and it's an incredibly supportive, emotionally for people. Sometimes people have kept their stories hidden for years in some cases. And my guest today is celebrity artist David Elon, and we're going to be talking about his website, pointswithpurpose.com, where I think I've got the figure that says more than 1,500 people so far have written about their experiences. It may be even more than that. I'm going to ask him when I bring him on, and I'm going to do that right now. David, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I am just fine. David, you are a celebrity artist. Tell me a little bit about your background and what that means.
Well, I've been drawing with pointillism technique for 20 years, which means drawing using only dots. But for the last 10 years, I've been drawing strictly to celebrities. It started off about 10 years ago where Seinfeld saw my drawings, and I drew the entire cast of Seinfeld. And it snowballed from there, and it just was just one celebrity after another, and that's what I was focusing on. But I started to want to do something more meaningful with my artwork, so about a year ago I started pointing.
We've got some paper noises in the background. If you can kind of just try not to ruffle those papers.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah, be careful. We have another guest who's waiting in the wings, and that you just heard her voice there. So, we can hear everything that goes on. So, all right. So, David, let me back up just a little bit. Now, pointillism is a very specific kind of artwork, and this is the reason why this website is so important. Go into a little more detail about pointillism and what it is, and it goes back to the Impressionists, right? Seurat was the most well known, perhaps.
Right. He was actually the
French
one
artist.
That invented it, really. And what he did was he used paints, different color paints, and actually I think it was only like four or five colors. And the very amazing thing about what he did is he only used dots, but if you go up really closely, you see the different color dots in there, like a yellow and a blue. But when you step away from it, your eye and your brain put those yellow and blue dots together to make the green. So that's the technique that he invented, to have the brain mix the colors together and not the brush. But what I do is I use a pen that's only black and white. I like, you know, back then you didn't have all the color that you have now with TV and advertising. So now I want to take it back to black and white, which is a little different than we normally see today. So it is drawn using only dots. All the dots are the same size. What creates the picture is the space between the dots. So if I put a lot of dots in one area, it creates a darker image, and a few dots in an area create a lighter image. And so I can create a portrait or any image that I see in my head by just simply putting more or less dots in different areas.
And that's what is so incredible about what you're doing, because you're not actually drawing per se, you're drawing with these points. So it's like a community of dots coming together to make the picture.
Yeah, every dot is important. Every dot, while it's the same size as the other dots, that dot by itself is meaningless. It's when it interacts with the dots around it, really, in our own mind, when we put them together, that's when the image starts to form. So that's what I love about this, and that's why I decided to put it in, have more meaning for each dot by associating it with a person. And that's where Points with Purpose comes in, is where I say, well, a lot of times people come and look at the drawings and say, look at all those dots, but now I want them to say, look at all those people. And so they can know that each one of those dots represents a real survivor. And what you said is exactly true of actually my reason for starting this, which is that dots need to work together. And in this way, the survivors need to work together, because even though there's millions of them all over the world, they generally do not know each other because they feel ashamed or they don't tell anybody. But this is one way for people all over the world to come together and work together to create beauty out of the tragedies.
Mm-hmm. So, David, let me just recap. What you're doing is you're making a drawing of a woman using dots. And I think I read somewhere there's going to be more than 100,000 dots overall. But each dot represents a man or a woman who has been sexually assaulted or who is a supporter of someone and who has contacted you via the Points with Purpose website. Is that right? Did I get that right?
That's exactly right. So what they can do is they can sign up for their dot. It's completely free, and they can sign up anonymously. And when they sign up for a dot, then I will put a dot for them on the canvas. And when lots of people sign up together, that's when the drawing starts to form. I don't put any dots on until people sign up for them. So it's really the survivors coming together that creates the drawing. And I'm just a tool or whatever you want to call it. You know, I'm just there to be kind of the middleman, the person actually connects them to the canvas.
And on the website, people can actually see what the state of the drawing is. And how many dots would you say was 1,500 correct, or have you gotten more since I got my information?
Yeah, well, actually, the 1,500, I think what you're looking at there is for stories that were put on there. Now, I just want to say that people don't have to write a story. And if they do want to write a story, they can write it just for me to see, or they can write it for the whole world to see. So there's been over 30,000 people who have signed up in 150 countries. From those 30,000, there's a large group of many thousand who have signed up online. There's other ways for them to tell me that they want their dot. And from those several thousands, there's about, I think, over 3,000 now, well over 3,000 stories that you can read online. And then there's also thousands of stories that have come in that only I can read, where people want to get this off their chest most of the time for the first time. And then at least they told one person. And I never reveal any of those stories or who they are, but I put a dot down for them. So
now I would definitely want to talk more about that. But let me back up one more second. How did you decide? How did you come up with the idea of Points with Purpose and doing this drawing and forming this community?
Well, it's interesting because the idea was very, very basic and simple in the beginning, and it kind of grew as I was starting to get messages from people all over the world letting me know what they want. I was watching a play or a show called The Vagina Monologues, and in there's a lot of discussion about rape and sexual abuse. So on the way home, I just started thinking, there's something I have to do here. What can I do? I'm just an artist. I just put dots on a canvas all day. And I came up with the idea of one dot equals one person. So I just sent out about 40 emails to my friends and family just saying, hey, look, if you or anybody you know is a survivor of rape or sexual abuse, please let me know and I'll put a dot for you on the canvas. And then it just exploded where people were sending it to other people, and it just went all over the world. And then somebody let me know about Facebook, so I created the Facebook page and a MySpace page. And then from there, it really started to explode in a big way. And at different points, the media got involved a little bit. It was on CBS and ABC and on the radio and online and everywhere, newspaper and magazines. So it started to really pick up steam, and that's where a lot of people are finding out. So in the beginning, I was just putting dots down on the canvas, but then people were saying that they wanted to actually do something after they got their dot. So I created the feature where they can tell their story. It was kind of an afterthought. But that's the amazing thing, is the afterthought turned out to be the most important part of the entire project, because that's what brings in the healing process. It's not just a cool project anymore. It's a way for people to let out a lot of what they've held in for so many years. Some people have written to me where it's been 20 years, 40 years. They've never told anybody, and this is their way of sharing their story. So that was the next feature, and then eventually supporters wrote in and said that they'd like to get a dot too. So I added a feature in there where if you are a survivor, you get a dot in the figure, and if you are a supporter, you get a dot in the sheet that's surrounding the figure. So this way you can support the survivors on the actual in the drawing, and you can also support them in real life. And that's really interesting too, because a lot of supporters now have joined, and which brings me to the last feature that that has come up, where people wanted to be able to communicate with each other. And at first, I was a little bit nervous about that, because I didn't want somebody to be able to write this story and then have somebody else say something negative about that.
But rightly so, yes.
Yeah. So there's been so much demand for it that I eventually put it on there, and within the first month, thousands of emails were going back and forth internally. Also, there's friendship, Facebook-style friendships. There's nearly 1,000 of those on there right now, and people are joining from all over the world. For example, there's one 16-year-old girl, I think she's in Ohio, somewhere like that, and she wrote me a thank you note in a way, saying that she had absolutely nobody to talk to about this, but now she's a friend with a 16-year-old in Paris, and they're talking about this, and the one in Paris had nobody to talk to either. So it's a way for people to be able to find somebody else and still remain anonymous if they want to. And so that feature now allows people to be friends online, allows people to send private messages, and also allows people to comment in other people's entries. And so far, there's thousands and thousands of comments that people have written about other people's entries, and they've all been positive.
Oh, that is so amazing. David, let's take a quick pause. When we come back, I want to talk some more about the actual drawing, and I've got some tips coming up on what to say and what not to say to someone who has been a survivor of sexual assault. So stay tuned.
News. Opinion. Hear me. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com. There's a purpose revolution sweeping the world. Now more than ever before, in the midst of so many things they could do, people are asking what they should do. Since 1991, John Stanko has been helping people all over the world answer these questions. Now John is bringing his purpose message and philosophy to Voice America, where you will hear from people of purpose like John, who have found what they were created to do. Join John and his guests from around the world every week on his show, Your Purpose Quest, 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern. Right here on Voice America. After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.fightsafety.com. CrimeSafe.com for more information. You'll also find information there on Susan's upcoming Crime Prevention 101 personal safety teleseminars. Think fast, talk fast, fight smart, which stress the many opportunities you have to deter or defuse a criminal encounter and how to use your brains instead of your muscles in a fight. Look for the new book information or sign up for Susan Bartlestone's personal safety seminars at www.fightsafe.com today.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
Have you ever thought about having your own internet talk show? Well, if you said yes, then click About Us. Then click Be a Host to get more information. Or just call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417.
Say that again.
480-294-6417. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions at fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions at fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Welcome back, and if you're just joining us, this is Crime Prevention 101, and I am talking with David Island, celebrity artist and the creator of the website Points with Purpose, and we're talking about his drawing, and each dot, it's a drawing of dots that comes together to form the picture, and each dot represents a sexual assault survivor who has signed on to be part of this drawing, and around it is the dots representing their supporters. Now, David, what actually is the drawing going to be when it's done?
What is it going to be of?
What will the picture be?
Right, it's a picture of a survivor, and I had to make a choice whether it's going to be male or female or both, and I asked a lot of people their opinions, and I came up with just having it be a female survivor. Even though it represents both male and female, because if I have a male in there, it might be a little bit confusing if both of them are there in a relationship, is one the survivor and one the abuser, and if I have to do just one, should I do male or female, and there's more female survivors. So anyway, I created the female survivor, but again, both male and female survivors are equally important and represented in the drawing.
And that's a very important point, because we know that males are also sexually assaulted and also benefit from this. So do you have any idea how many men versus women are part of the forum, part of the site, so to speak?
Well, part of the site itself, I would say over 90% are female.
Uh-huh.
That has more to do with outreach. I can get to female survivors easier than I can get to the male survivors. But both of them are not easy at all. I mentioned earlier about the media getting involved. But even though the media are getting involved in a little way, it's still almost impossible to get anybody to talk about rape or sexual abuse. I've been trying for so long to get people to cover it, and they just refuse. And it can help thousands and thousands, probably millions of people, but it's just one of those topics that they don't like to cover. But when they do cover it, it's usually like a female-oriented magazine or a website. There's not a lot of information out there for men at all. Actually, if I can give a plug, there's one organization called oneinsix.org, and they were trying to work with them to get the word out to more men. But
Does that 1 in 6 figure represent the ratio of men to women as in terms of being sexual assault survivors?
Well, it's, it represents how many men, 1 in every 6 men gets raped or sexually abused.
A 1 in every 6 men. Oh, yeah, indeed.
Exactly. That's obviously a huge amount, and it's 1 in every 3 for females.
I see.
If we can think about that for a second, think about 3 of your female friends and then just guess which one of them will be raped or sexually abused sometime in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to even think, how that, every time I'm in a situation like watching a concert where there's thousands of people there, just think about how many of those people have gone through this or will go through this, and yet the media doesn't talk about it so much.
And I have known that for years, and back when I was doing my self-defense programs and my crime prevention lectures, and I would know that easily, a quarter of that audience, I was talking to survivors. And, let me just, I normally talk to directly to survivors, and I want to take this minute to do that. And if you are already a survivor of sexual assault or any kind of crime, anything that we are talking about on this show today, it is so important for you to understand that nothing that happened to you was your fault. And even if you think that you used bad judgment in the situation and left yourself vulnerable for what happened, please, that is never, never an excuse for crime or for violence. And also I want to say that there are no right or wrong responses. There's no shouldas and if I had only known. If you are alive, you responded correctly. And it is so important to call yourself a survivor and not a victim, and to understand that with the proper professional help, you can put what happened into perspective and get on with your life. And I'm going to give some more organizations, also David, some resources later on in the show where people can look for that help. Now, we were talking a little bit about a survey. Talk a little bit about this survey.
Well, I realize that I have this list of many, many thousands of survivors, and that's kind of a hard thing to come by because most survivors, or let's say a chunk of survivors, a big chunk, do not ever report or tell anybody about what happened to them. Those that do report, you can't really get to because it's kept confidential. So here I am with this list, and I thought, well, why not do some surveys here to get some real answers? And I sent out the survey to thousands of people, and 550 of them have completed the survey from 22 different countries.
Wow. And what kind of questions did you ask in that survey?
I asked a lot of different questions, and I broke it down into online, by the way, if you go to pointswithpurpose.com, you can see the survey itself and all the results. But it's just information about how old were you when this occurred? How old are you now? How long were you abused? If it was a rape, was it one time or was it ongoing? There's a lot of information like that, but there's also, to me, the key information is how did you react to it afterwards? Was any kind of was there thoughts of suicide? Was there a suicide attempt?
What were some of the answers that you got? That's amazing.
Yeah, you'd be pretty shocked, I think. The 48% of the people that responded, 48% from the 550 people said that they've had serious thoughts of suicide. And from those, and by the way, let me just say, when I say serious thoughts of suicide, I'm not talking about just like, oh, I wish this will go away. If I was, if I can kill myself, it'll all go away. I'm talking about like extreme, like you're just about to do it. And from those, 33% of them have, 33% of the entire amount. Let me clarify. It's not 33% of the 48%. It's 33% of everybody that responded said that they have attempted suicide at least one time.
Mm.
Yeah, so one third of everybody who's been raped or sexually abused from the survey has attempted suicide and was saved in some way, whether they were found or the attempt didn't work for some reason. I mean, it was an actual suicide attempt. The other ones were where it says a serious suicidal thoughts, usually they were stopped by somebody else. So it was that serious where they had to be stopped. I just separate them because they didn't have to be rushed to the hospital or have medical treatment.
That's just a horrible statistic. That's one of the reasons why it is so important to get the proper kinds of help, because that is a common thought. I know when the pain is just so crushing and you don't know what else to do, that is just one of that's one of the main reasons you've got to reach out for help. What were some of the other answers in the question, to the questions?
Well, another important one is, have you attempted any kind of self-harm or struggle with it? And that's another amazing number, is that 41% do still suffer or have at one point suffered with self-harm, where they attempt to hurt themselves. And some of those that have come in range from cutting or burning, maybe hitting yourself or slapping yourself. There's drug or alcohol abuse. Some people wrote in that they would just like hit their head against the wall or anything to make the inner pain some way bring it out outside so they can kind of manage that pain.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that occurs where, again, we just don't tell anybody. That's a huge secret to keep mm-hmm. bottled up inside, especially if you're a tween or a teen or young adult. It's you can't even imagine the amount of just the thoughts that go through a person's head when they can't share it with anybody else. And again, that's what's so important about Points of Purpose, is it gives you that outlet to do it anonymously in a safe place. And so,
and get support. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And then people have been supporting each other on there too, which is what I was saying before with the commenting and the thousands of emails that have been going back and forth. People are now finding that kind of support on the site, but maybe we can bring that 41% of people harming themselves down a little bit if they can mm-hmm. just tell somebody about it.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the other questions that you got answers to?
Well, one of them is if you've moved past the experience or are you mm-hmm. still struggling with it. So mm-hmm. 19% said that they're still struggling. 12% said that they're starting to heal. And 40% said that they made progress, but they need more time. And then only 29% said that they've moved past it. So a huge majority.
Well, 29 is still. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, it's a pretty good amount. Now,
that's a nice number. I'm liking that number. And
yeah.
And the 43 was it that are definitely moving, making progress. That gives it. That's an encouraging, when you put those together, that's encouraging.
Right, exactly. It is encouraging.
Like.
And we just have to keep in mind that I didn't separate it by how long it's been since the occurrence. So at least they're getting over it. Some people, it's taken years. Some people are just, for whatever reason, are able to move past it a lot sooner. Mm-hmm. And so, so that represents everybody, and it's the 40%. The 19% are the ones that are... still struggling in a big way.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, one more question that I wanted to ask you about before we bring on our second guest. What will you do when the drawing is finished?
Well, it's that's also an interesting question because I don't know the answer to that. I do other drawings, and those drawings of one the Smithsonian is interested in, and I want to see if I can get that kind of attention for this one. I want to either have it travel. I've gone to different locations. I just came back from Michigan where I spoke at a college over there, and I bring the drawing with me, and I give people their dots in person, and it has a big effect. I mean, people get very emotional when they see the drawing itself, so I'd like to somehow have it tour around so people can go see it. Even though you can zoom in, like you said, on the site, it's very different to see the drawing in person. So somehow I'd like to get it traveling around. I also, by the way, people have been asking for prints of it, so I'm going to be making the prints so people can have copies of it.
I definitely think you should do something like that. That is a very meaningful thing to have. All right, now we're going to hear more about
points of purpose, and we're going to hear more about the drawings and the forum when we come back, and we're going to be doing that very shortly. So stay tuned.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com. After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, How to Respond to Danger in 20 Seconds or Less. Check out www.fightsafe.com for more information. You'll also find information there on Susan's upcoming Crime Prevention 101 personal safety teleseminars. Think Fast, Talk Fast, Fight Smart, which stress the many opportunities you have to deter or defuse a criminal encounter and how to use your brains instead of your muscles in a fight. Look for the new book information or sign up for Susan Bartlestone's personal safety seminars at www.fightsafe.com today.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street.
Yo, what's up, baby? Wanna learn some history?
I got live learning, beautiful books inside.
And don't expect anyone to just offer you an education.
Who needs a high school diploma, huh?
Unfortunately, you can't buy a diploma from some guy with a briefcase. But there is one way you can get the educational skills you and your family need for free, with free family learning programs. Call 1-877-FAMLIT-1 for information on free GED, computer training classes, and other family learning programs. That's 1-877-FAMLIT-1.
Check it out, check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
After all, you can't get your education on the street. Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. The first step to a better life. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Welcome back to Crime Prevention 101. And this is Susan Bartlestone, and I'm talking with David Eiland from, and that's I-L-A-N.
That's right.
From the Points with Purpose website. And I just wanted to also say, don't forget to check out my website, DearSafetySolutions.com, because I've got a lot of safety tips and resources. I'm going to be putting resources from that you're going to want to know about from this show that I'll be talking about are up there. Also, check out my Facebook page because I post a lot of crime prevention resources and videos and news items there. And I also wanted to say that I have done 4 radio shows on non-traditional ways to heal from crime or sexual violence or trauma
And if you go into the archives on the voiceamerica.com website, you will find those. I did a show on September 20th, September 27th, November 8th, and November 29th that deal with different ways of healing. And this show is going to fall into that category. And there's also a great website. One of the shows that I did, the one on November 11th, was from a wonderful organization called HealingThroughCreativity.org, and how people, this is something, David, you might want to also look up and hook in with, because they heal through the arts. Now, right. We were talking about how one of the most important things that grew out of Points with Purpose is that it became a place where people could tell their stories. And I have someone also coming on with to talk a little bit about the website, and she's going to tell her story and talk about how this website has really helped. So, Kathleen, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101.
Thank you.
Talk a little bit about your story, if you will, and then let's talk about how the website has helped you and what you feel the benefit of it is.
Well, my story is, as an infant, I was adopted. Originally with my biological brother, who's older than I am. About a year after the adoption, my brother and I were separated. He was given back up. And shortly after that, the abuse started. What started out as severe spankings and hitting turned into everything from adopted mother, who I call my stepmother, went as far as trying to kill me. She was throwing me out in the middle of winter. I grew up in upstate New York, where it's very, very cold in the middle of winter time. Mm-hmm. She kicked me out with nothing more than a bathrobe on, bare feet, in the middle of cold snow, and make me stand out there for however long she felt like. I was also sexually molested by both my adopted siblings for a number of years. So I pretty much was abused at the hands of my entire adopted family for 11 years of my life. Everything, like I said, from physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, pretty much the living nightmare. If you can imagine it, it probably happened to me at some point in my life, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It all finally, after 11 years, when I was about 14 years old, it finally came to an end when social services finally got involved after my mother had kicked me out. She was notorious for kicking me out anywhere from a week to 2 weeks or more, with nothing more than the clothes on my back, which meant as a child I had to learn to fend for myself. Everything from keeping myself warm to finding something to eat, to finding some sort of shelter.
You were how old, Kathleen, when this happened?
From age 3 to age 14.
And at age 14, you were kicked out of the house?
Several times between age 3 and 14, it happened.
Wow. And you're saying you had to learn how to do all of these things?
Yep.
When did you finally get to actually leave the situation?
I was 14 years old. The last time my mother kicked me out, I had gone to a friend's house, and it was the first time in my life I had confided in somebody as to what was happening. And being a teenager and a friend, she didn't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. And so I stayed at her house for several days, and my way of coping with what was happening was doing everything from drinking to whatever I could get my hands on to try to escape what was happening.
Sure.
And during that week that I was with my friend, her and I had gone to several parties. We were out drinking until 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, go home, get a couple hours of sleep, go to school, and do it all over again. The last day that I was at her house, we were late for school because we had been out until all hours of the night partying. And the school nurse finally decided that she was going to bug me all day until I finally gave her a straight answer. I guess she finally at some point learned or figured out that I wasn't telling her the truth when I said everything was fine, my parents knew what was going on, and, you know, everything was okay. She bugged me all day long, and finally I just had enough of her bugging me, and I finally turned around and said, "Listen, my mother kicked me out. It's no big deal." Well, 2 hours later, few hours later, social services showed up, and I was removed from the home not removed that day, but they, what they call a prevention worker, which their purpose of a prevention worker is to keep the child in the home, but to resolve any situations like, you know, that are dangerous or anything else, and to help the family. Well, of course, with my mother, that didn't help. So it just basically made her a little more careful about where she left the bruises on me.
Mm-hmm.
He would show up.
You were sent back to that family.
Yes.
Yeah.
That after social services got involved that day. It wasn't too long after that, though, that they removed me from the home because the protective worker would show up unannounced both at school and at my home to make random visitations and random checks on us.
Thank goodness.
And I had, and I still to this day have, extremely long hair. And if you ask anybody that has known me for any great length of time, they'll tell you that 99% of the time when I was a child, you never saw my face. There was a reason why you never saw my face. My hair hid the bruises from my mother because she would leave me with black eyes, bruises on my face all over, and I used to use my hair as a means to hide it. And nobody ever really took the time or bothered to move my hair out of my face. They just figured I was one of those kids that just wanted to hide my face all the time. So,
Can I ask you how old you are now? I'm trying to get a perspective of. I'm sorry?
I'm 34 now.
I'm trying to get a perspective on what the laws might have been like at that time. So that was about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were pretty antiquated in terms of reporting and so forth. I think it's a little better now. I don't know.
Yes,
that's
and no.
What was the changing point for you? How did you find?
I finally got out of there when, like I said, my protective worker showed up, and lo and behold, little did he know that the night before, my mother had decided she felt the need to beat on me again, and she had punched me so hard in the face that not only did she leave a bruise on my face, but she had knocked me down a flight of stairs and into the kitchen stove, which was at the bottom of the stairs. And the protective worker made an unannounced visit at the school. And I had my usual conversation with him. Everything's fine, you know, yada, yada, yada. Got up to go back to class, and he called my name. I turned around, and I'm like, yeah, what? And he pushed my hair out of my face. First person to ever shove my hair out of my face. And he turned to me and said, you're not going home tonight. That was true. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he showed up in my school. They escorted me to social services. Gave my parents a chance to have one last goodbye to me, which my mother had nothing nice to say to me at that point, and I was put in immediate foster care right then and there.
And then began the long road to recovery, I guess, at that point.
Well, the weird thing was is my mind and my body instantaneously went into what I call block mode. From the day I left, I'd say like the day after I left till I was 18 years old, I blocked everything out of my mind. I literally, for years, I didn't remember anything before I was 14. I'd never could figure out why don't I remember anything before the age of 14. My whole life before age 14 was just one huge blank to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe that's good.
I mean, when I finally started to remember things, I kind of finally realized, okay, this is why 14 years of my life was a complete blank to me. My mind, my body, whatever, was protecting me. And because there's no way that realistically any kid, teenager, can really wrap their head around what happened to me and cope with it in a way without completely destroying themselves in any way, shape, or form. Which, yeah. You know, you guys are talking about attempting suicide and anything else. I can't even count how many times I tried. I mean, for years, when I was in the situation, you know, I attempted suicide probably on a weekly basis, if not on a daily.
Catelyn, this is an amazing story. We're going to come back just after a short pause. I'm going to pick up from there, and let's talk a little bit now about the forum and the ways that you've helped yourself to put what happened into perspective and get on. So we're going to be right back.
Have you ever thought about having your own internet talk show? Well, if you said yes, then click About Us. Then click Be a Host to get more information. Or just call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417.
Say that again.
480-294-6417. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hello, we're Mike and Susan.
Hello, I'm Catherine.
We are the March of Dimes 2008 National Ambassador family. Although Catherine was born extremely premature with many challenges, today she is a healthy five-year-old thanks to the March of Dimes.
I'm Don Germano, Senior Vice President of Kmart Stores. Kmart is proud to support March of Dimes' mission to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please make a donation at any Kmart or at marchforbabies.org so that one day all babies are born healthy.
Divorce, child custody, support, and visitation, division of property, attorneys, court. Just the thought of divorce is stressful enough. Never mind the combative, destructive, and expensive process. Is there a better way? Yes, divorce mediation. On Divorce Mediation, Myths and Facts, host Philip Mulford, one of the country's top divorce mediators, will discuss this incredibly successful alternative. Formerly a practicing attorney, Philip will explore the myths and facts about a process that has kept his clients out of court and saved them thousands of dollars. If you aren't familiar with divorce mediation, or your lawyer has told you it's not appropriate for your case, this show is for you. After listening to Divorce Mediation, Myths and Facts, you'll tell anyone considering a divorce, go to mediation first. Divorce Mediation. Changing the culture of divorce.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.fightsafe.com for more information. You'll also find information there on Susan's upcoming Crime Prevention 101 personal safety teleseminars. Think fast, talk fast, fight smart, which stress the many opportunities you have to deter or defuse a criminal encounter and how to use your brains instead of your muscles in a fight. Look for the new book information or sign up for Susan Bartlestone's personal safety seminars at www.fightsafe.com today.
News. Opinion.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions at fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions at fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Welcome back. This is Crime Prevention 101, and I've been talking with David Island from Points with Purpose, and I'm talking with Catlin, who is a survivor and who is one of the points on David's drawing. And Catlin, that was an amazing story that you talked about, and I wish I could say that it was an uncommon story, but I know that it's not. And talk to me a little bit about how you found the forum and how what goes on at that forum helps you to get your life into some kind of meaningful order and move on with it.
Well, thank God I pretty much, as far as dealing with what happened with myself and everything, and you know, through my childhood, I've moved on, and as I tell everybody, I'm no longer a victim. I'm a survivor, and I stopped being a victim the day I allowed. You know, I said to myself, my mother and everything that happened to me, including for my siblings, are not going to control my life and what I do with my life. I will live my life for me, and I will, you know, make my life productive. This will not control who I am. And but the thing The thing I found with Points of Purpose is it reinforces something that kind of fired me up about 2 years ago, and that is getting the word out, and I think that's exactly what this does. It finally gives a voice to the victims out there and the survivors, and I think, because unfortunately, even though I've been out of the abuse and everything for 20 years, I can honestly say in 20 years, public persona and public opinion and everything else still has not changed. It's still kept in the dark. What happens at home, people don't talk about. You know, we ignore, you know, what we suspect next door, or, you know, the kid that comes to school, you know, that acts up. People just aren't willing to open their eyes and say, maybe we need to take a special interest in that child. Maybe we need to find out why that child acts up all the time or whatever. And I think Points of Purpose is finally getting that voice out saying, this is not going away. You know, this is still happening. And these people finally have a voice to say, this happened to me, and I'm not going to hide it anymore. I'm not going to lie about it anymore. I am a victim. I was a victim. I'm a survivor. It's time for the world to hear that this has happened. And I think the picture is exactly that. It's the voice that is so needed.
It's the voice and the face. And that,
exactly.
David, and that's that was just such an amazing concept. And I think that being able to speak through the website, through the forum there, to other people is amazingly supportive. It has proven to be. And my guess, I haven't really read through the entries, but my guess is that many of them are quite hopeful. Many, you know, it depends on what place you're in. And Catlin, I think that you're in a great place to help some of the people that fall into that percentage of that survey that David was talking about earlier that really don't know how they're going to move on. And you seem to have really done a great deal to get yourself to a better spot. And I am thrilled.
I belong to other survivor groups on like Yahoo and stuff. And I remember one day another survivor, her posting was fairly short. And her posting was clear. It just says, how do I move on? How do I live with it? And I said to her, it's not something that happens overnight, unfortunately. We all wish it was. I'm like, but it's just a one day at a time thing. You know, you get up tomorrow morning, you take a deep breath, you thank God that you're not in the situation anymore. And just gradually you just get stronger to the point where you say, okay, you know, I can live with what happened to me. It's not going to control my life. I've lived through it, which is a miracle on its own, because unfortunately there's way too many people that don't. I mean, I live here in D.C., and just in the last year we've had a number of cases of young children being killed at the hands of their parents, the children in found the freezer, the child that was claimed to have, you know, disappeared and her mother killed her, you know, et cetera. It's just all too common, and, you know, the fact that those of us have gotten out, that's something every day, you know, when you're recovering, you just got to say, I got out. I'm alive. And, you know, that's just one thing that helps you along the way every day. I mean, I can say, you know, after 20 years, I still have my bad days. But, you know, there's a lot more good days than there are bad days.
A lot, indeed. Catlin, thank you so much. And I appreciate your honesty and your voice. And I love David's picture as well. And
I'm sorry, can I share one other thing?
Oh, surely, sure.
And I hope to get David involved in this when I finally get it organized. As I said, I live here in the Washington, D.C. area. And, of course, every day we hear about somebody having a rally. Something I've been working on for the past 2 years and getting people to come out for it and support it has turned out to be a little bit harder than I thought it would be. But it's also because survivors are still struggling with saying it publicly of what's happened to them. But something I want to do, and I hope to get a large number of people to do this, I want to have a rally here in Washington, D.C., and I want it in D.C. because the fact that, of course, our government is here, and I think it's time, like I said, that the attention's brought back on the fact that abuse is still so rampant. Child abuse has not gone away. It's still just as bad as it's ever been. And I think that if we have a large rally with survivors and victims and saying, here we are, hear us, we're not going away, start doing something about it, me will finally get sufficient attention and get something done.
Catlin, I have a resource for you. to help.
Okay.
There's a wonderful organization called MenCanStopRape.org. They are based in Washington, D.C. I think that they might be a very willing ear and would have a lot of helpful information and maybe can help with what you're trying to do. So please contact them. You can reach them online, MenCanStopRape.org.
Okay, wonderful. Definitely will.
Well, thank you again. And we're getting ready to wind down. I want to give and David, thank you also. That's pointswithpurpose.com.
Right.
Right. Pointswithpurpose.com. You have to see this amazing drawing. I wanted to just give a couple of tips. If you are trying to help someone who is a survivor, and this comes from hopeforhealing.org, and the first thing that they say is reassure the survivor that you care. And I was just at a seminar recently, and they said that the biggest indicator in terms of really turning the corner and coming back around the other side of healing is to know that people are there that believe you when you tell them that something happened and that they care about you, no matter what it is that you've told them. So number one, reassure the survivor that you care. Number two, offer to take the dog for a walk or take the kids to the park or any way that you can help out. Three, if the victim lives alone, offer to stay the night or see that there are groceries. Four is get information from a rape crisis center or online sources for both you and the victim. That is so important. Getting help is tremendously important. Five, there is a lot to process. This is especially true if there's a prosecution involved. Give the victim the space that's needed. And there's about 15 of these. I'm going to post these on my website. And I'm also going to post on my website, and that's DearSafetySolutions.com, things that you should not say, like you should never have been out at that time of night drinking. You don't want to say that. I'm going to post that list on my website. Here's a couple of other resources. SurvivingToThriving.org, Abyss2Hope.com, AfterSilence.org, which is another forum. Please note that all of my past shows are archived on my Dear Safety Solutions website. I'm also going to be putting a link to pointswithpurpose.com, and all of the resources are on there. There's safety tips on there. Check out my Facebook page. You can also Twitter me. It's at S. Bartlestone. And look for my forum, womensavers.com forum, and come and talk to me there. Next week, we're going to be talking about how you, as a bystander, can prevent sexual assault. And this is an amazing topic. You are not going to want to miss it. In fact, it would be a crime not to listen. So stay tuned and stay safe.
We hope you got some useful information and inspiration this week on Crime Prevention 101. Susan Bartlestone invites you to join us again next Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time and 2 p.m. Eastern Time here on Voice America. Have a great weekend and a safe weekend.